An interview with Frieda Barkin Hennig. Good afternoon. My name is Julie Suarez, and I'm here speaking with an amazingly vivacious woman named Frieda Barkin Hennig. Good afternoon, Ms. Hennig, and thank you for speaking with me today.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Suarez. I'm happy to share this time with you.
First, if you don't mind, about yourself.
I'd be delighted. Well, as you said, my name is Frieda Barkin Hennig. I was born in Kowel, Poland on September 27th in the glorious year of 1904. And I'm the youngest of 8 children born to my parents.
When did you move to the United States?
My family immigrated to the United States in 1910.
What would you say your
normal childhood? I enjoyed time with my family, excelled in education, was quite good at it as well. My parents had actually wanted me to become a pianist, but I wasn't sure that was what I wanted to set up pursuing a degree in law.
Well, wow, choice for a woman in that time. The woman played the role of... How did your parents respond when you told them of these aspirations?
Well, my parents were not happy. No, not happy at all. When I told them of my plans, that I wanted to go to law school and not follow their dreams of being a pianist, they told me that they would not offer me any help at all. When I wanted to go to law school, that I would need to do it all on my own.
Wow, so what did you do?
I worked hard and paid for my schooling myself. And at the age of 22, I became the youngest woman working as a lawyer in New York City.
All of that hard work sure paid off for you. Not only did you become a female lawyer in a majority male-dominated field, you made yourself known. What prompted you to make a career change from lawyer to the Federal Communications Commission?
That's a good question. I was honestly approached by President Harry S. Truman himself to come work for the FCC in 1948 and honored with the position of...
Once assigned to the commissioner of the FCC, what was your vision of television?
Television was in its early stages, and where I saw a lack of programming was in education. Our country had this awesome resource, the television, a way to reach large numbers of people, and how better to share the information, to educate, and have channels completely dedicated to educational programming. Television had, and still has, I believe, the power to serve the public as an important educational tool.
You truly were the first spokeswoman for the start of the educational television movement. Was it an easy task, securing the reservation of channels for non-commercial television stations?
Oh, no. One would have thought that everyone would see the value and opportunity of having a dedicated public education through television. But people fought against me. They wanted acting and dancing. It was quite a challenge. But I represent one of America's most valuable resources.
How did you do this?
Yes, I did have support for my vision. I appeared on radio and television programs to discuss an important issue of using television for educational purposes. And listeners and readers responded, supported my position, and educators formed the Joint Committee on Education Television and prepared to testify at FCC hearings for our cause. People did join to help my cause.
It must have been quite an experience for you when you got to see your aspirations achieved when you attended the inauguration of the first educational TV station in Houston, Texas in 1953.
Yes. It was a testament to my success.
And in a male-dominated world, with grace, and open our country's eyes to the value of television as a learning tool, an idea that will carry on for us for many years to come.